Been in a series, but this has been like a standalone. Every message has been standalone, so you haven't missed anything if you weren't here last Sunday or the Sundays before. But been going through the Gospel of Mark a chapter at a time. There's 16 chapters, so we're on Mark chapter 16 today. And just to give you a few facts, some fun facts for you about the Gospel of Mark. And I've been trying to share this almost every Sunday that we've had this message, but it's the first of the four Gospels that was written, because of the order that they're in, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody thinks Matthew was the first one written, but actually it was Mark was the first of the four Gospels that was written. It's fast-moving and action-packed. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It's only 16 chapters long, and it's the Gospel that every new believer needs to read. So when you hear of a new believer, they really need to, I mean, any of the Gospels are great to read, and a lot of times we point them to the Gospel of John, but really, point them to the Gospel of Mark, because it's only 16 chapters long, and it helps them believe. And that's been like the key theme through all of Mark is believe. Do you really believe? And so that's the title of my message today, is Do You Believe? And I'm going to challenge, this message, as I've been studying, has challenged my own belief, all right? The best way I can describe it, here in America, we get comfortable in our belief system, and we need to be challenged. So this, and that's my job, is to challenge you in your belief system, and to help the church to wake up. One of my jobs as a pastor is to equip the saints, which is you guys, for the work of the ministry. So that's a lot of what this message is going to be about today. And whenever I was studying Mark chapter 16, we're actually going to look at verses 9 through 20, I found out that if you have your Bible or if you're on your smartphone or whatever, that when you go to Mark chapter 16, it goes verses 1 through 8, and then it might say something, or it says it before Mark chapter 16, that some of the earliest manuscripts do not include Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. And so I just want to tell you something, that my Bible says that when I open it up. It says some of the earliest manuscripts do not include Mark 16, verses 9 through 20. I studied this out for you, and I found out that there's only two manuscripts that do not include Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. Just to give you an idea how many older manuscripts were written the Gospel of Mark, there's actually 25,000 manuscripts that were in early manuscripts of the whole Bible, and there's 5,600 of them are in Greek, which that's the New Testament, and only two of them left out the Mark 16 verses 9 through 20. And so I don't know why they have to put that in our Bibles, because I just want you to... The reason why I want to bring this up, because somebody may ask me this question later, don't doubt that. It's in the Bible. It's in my Bible. It's in your Bible. It's the Word of God. Amen? So don't doubt it. It was there. If the Holy Spirit had it get to this point, it's there. But I don't know why they have to say that. And it says some of the earliest, it makes you think like there was a whole bunch of manuscripts that didn't have Mark 16, verses 9 through 20. Only two. It's like, why did we even put that in there, guys? And then I've read all kinds of stuff this week that, different scholars were saying, well, it just drops right off at verse 8, and then it's like somebody else wrote verses 9 through 20. Okay, I'm going to believe that Mark wrote verses 9 through 20. And how many of you ever written something before, a letter, or, I've wrote a few books. Have you ever got up during the middle of writing and took a break? So this is what I believe. I'm just a simple guy, simple redneck. I just believe that Mark, when he got to Mark 16, verse 8, he might have got up and went and got a cup of coffee or something. And then he came back and wrote verses 9 through 20, wrote the rest of it. So I just want to clear the air about that, so I don't have anybody emailing me or sending and saying, well, in my Bible it says it don't even include chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. It's there, okay? Holy Spirit put it there, so we need to look at it. And by the way, other passages of Scripture back up verses 9 through 20 in the Bible. So I just wanted to clear that up. And some of you are like, who cares? It's in the Word. Some of you like me, right? Just like, who cares? But I wanted to share that so you understand. All right. We're going to look at Mark 16, verses 9 through 20. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. This is talking about the resurrection. from whom he had cast out seven demons. All right, I want you to hone in on that. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept, but when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. Verse 12, after these things, he appeared in another form to two of them. As they were walking into the country, he appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Everybody say, believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. All right, so if you're taking notes, I want you to write down 1, 2, and 3. Everybody there? Is everybody engaged this morning? Is everybody awake? Okay, we're going to learn some things today. And then we're actually going to do some of the things that Jesus said that we could do as believers. All right, here's the first thing that the Gospel of Mark is pointing, and he pointed this out through the whole, all 16 chapters. He is giving us a call to believe. A call to believe. And this is Mark 16, verses 10 through 11. It says, she, which was Mary Magdalene, went out and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. They didn't believe her. Even though Jesus told them, look, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross. They're going to turn me over. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. Jesus told them that. They did not believe it. So that was Mary Magdalene going to the disciples and telling them. And she went from disbelief to belief when she saw Jesus. Mark 16, verse 13 says, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. And this is talking about the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. This is also talked about in Luke's gospel. He gives a really detailed account about it. It says, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. So the disciples didn't believe them a second time. Not only Mary Magdalene, by the way, the first evangelist was a woman, was Mary Magdalene. So women have a place in sharing the gospel. Hello? Okay. Mark 16, verse 14 says, afterward he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. They still hadn't believed. But so Jesus himself appeared to them. And when you read this, it's in John chapter 20, and we're not going to turn there. But when you read this, John chapter 20 gives a detailed account about it. It says that Jesus, in his resurrected form, actually walked through a wall and appeared in the room where they were at, because they were locked up for fear of the Jews. And he says, peace to them. And in Greek, that's boo. And you can imagine that they jumped. I can imagine all 11 of them jumped out of their skin when that happened. And I'm sure Jesus laughed and told them, guys, I told you this was going to happen. But they didn't believe. Now, I'm going to just show you real quick so you can have these scripture references so you can study this later yourself. But this is where Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. We just read that in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11, but it's also told in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. And then Jesus appears to the two believers, or the two disciples, and that's in Mark 16, verses 12 through 13 that we just read, but it's also told in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. By the way, I'll send you my notes if you want to study this out for yourself this week. And while they were walking with him, the Bible says that Jesus, even though they did not recognize him, when they recognized him is when he broke the bread. And they was like, oh, he's done this before. We recognize him. And this is so cool, because it says that they said, that those disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked about the word of God on the road with us? And so here's what Jesus talked to them about. from Moses and the prophets. I'm just giving you a little jet tour of what he was talking with him on the road. He talked to him about the promise that he was the promised offspring of Genesis 3:15, that he was the suffering servant that the prophet Isaiah talked about in Isaiah chapter 53, that he was the pierced one of Zechariah 12, verse 10, that he was the covenant messenger of Malachi 3, verse 1, and he went through over 500 prophecies about the Messiah with them as they were walking on the road that day. And they were saying, did not our hearts burn within us as he was sharing the word with us? And then the last thing, Jesus appears to the disciples and he rebukes them. He walks through the wall and says, boo, says peace to them. And that's in Mark 16, verse 14, but it's also told in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. And that's where we get the story of doubting Thomas. And that's where Thomas, in John chapter 20, he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. That's in John 20, verse 25. And Jesus responded in verse 29. He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And you know who that is? That's you and I this morning that Jesus was talking about. He said, because you have seen me talking to Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. I want us to learn how to celebrate belief today. We're living in a society today that celebrates doubts. You know, really, I doubt how God made me. I'm not a man or a woman. I mean, we're seeing that all over the place. It's crazy. I doubt this. If you want to get a following on social media, get on there and do a little video of all the things that you doubt, and you'll get a following. I mean, it's crazy. And what I'm seeing is in our society today is everybody celebrates doubt, and it's time to start celebrating belief. That's why Christmas is so special, is because we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, the belief that a Savior has come and he's coming again. Amen. And so I'm going to take you, that's what the challenge is today, is to get us to believing and believing more. All right. And I'm going to read a couple other scriptures here about belief. John 3, verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, talking about Jesus, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Romans 10, 9 tells us this is how you get saved. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's very simple. Amen? Very simple. But now I want to take you a step further. Mark 16, verse 16, he says, and I want to point out this scripture that we just read, whoever believes and is baptized, everybody say baptized, will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And I want to say that what takes you to get saved is belief in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everybody got that? But the next step that you need to go through, and if you haven't done it, you need to do it, is water baptism. Because a faith that saves, and you need to tweet, post, and that's why I put in all caps, post and tweet that, all right? Facebook post, tweet it. A faith that saves is a faith that obeys. I'm going to say it again. A faith that saves is a faith that obeys. I've had people come up to me and say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I'm just not going to get wet, man. I'm just not going to get dunked in front of everybody. My mascara will run and my hair will get all messed up. And I'm like, really? Really? I mean, he went to a cross for you. And so, and then that hits me, and I'm like, okay, then, man, I just, you know, a faith that saves is a faith that obeys. I know of one church, I heard of a church this week when I was studying this, they baptize every Sunday, and I was like, man, well, maybe we need to do that. You know, they have the baptism ready every Sunday so that they can get her done. And if you'll study Scripture, the book of Acts, if you study the first church in the book of Acts, it talks about as soon as they got saved, the very next thing that they did was get water baptized. So, but here's the deal, and I know there's some of you in here, and some may be listening, that were raised in a certain church where it talked about that if you've never been water baptized, then you're not saved. I don't believe that either, because that's not scriptural either. It talks about belief, but obedience, the next step is water baptism. I can go back to, you know, the people that say, well, you've got to be baptized to be saved. Well, let's take, for instance, the thief on the cross. Jesus didn't say and look at him and say, you know, when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus didn't say, oh, dude, I'm sorry. If we could just get off this cross, if I could baptize you down there in the water in the Jordan River, you'd make it. He didn't say that. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because there's some people that something happens, you know, they got saved, and then the very next day or, an hour later, they die or whatever happens, you know, and they never had that chance to get water baptized. They're still going to go to heaven. Everybody got that? They're still saved. But what I'm saying is if you're here today and you've been putting this off and putting it off and putting it off, don't put it off any longer. A faith that saves is a faith that obeys. Okay. Everybody understand that? And everybody said amen. All right, here's the second thing. It was a call to believe, and then here's the second thing is a command to go. In Mark 16, verse 15, it said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And as soon as I said that, everybody thinks of Africa. Okay? You know, I've got to go to another third world country to go into all the world. And really, it may be to go to your family. It may be to go to your place of work. It may be to go to school or go to your college. Whoever, your go is whoever you're around on a daily basis, or whoever you bump into on a daily basis. Start praying that God would open your eyes to divine appointments that he places in your path, and you'll be shocked how many people he brings across your path that he's just wanting you to sow a seed into, to sow the gospel into. Just may be, it may even be a smile, guys, but it may be you talking to them about Jesus too. Maybe just caring for somebody. A command to go. And this is, I want you to post and tweet this too if you're on social media and let people know that you're at church this morning on this cold December morning. Those who believe in Jesus Christ have one common calling, and that is go. Go. Look at somebody say, go. Go. There's no, like, I look at Hayden and I'm going to pick on Hayden and Bradley. They came to Oklahoma. God sent you here. There's a reason why. I look back here at Mary and Josh, and we prayed over them this morning. I'm going to pick on you. Jada says, don't ever pick on people when we pray for them. I'm going to say what they came up and prayed about. They prayed about that they wanted to be an influencer to the youth around here. That's a go. That's a go ye. Amen? And I told Josh, I said, Josh, this message is going to speak to you this morning. That's a go. That's how Jada and I got started. We came to church and we heard the gospel being preached. We had a faith that saves and a faith that obeys. And we, the very first thing that we heard in our church that we were attending at that time, that they needed help in the youth. And so we became youth sponsors. And so that's all we did was show up and help and serve and do different things. And then before long, we had youth coming to us wanting us to pray for them. And then we were praying for them. And it just grew from there. But you got to go to wherever God puts you around you. Could be at your workplace, wherever. And just be sensitive. The reason why we miss so many opportunities, guys, is because of hardness of heart. We get hard-hearted, and we need to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he is bringing people across our path every day. Every day. And that's the go. But I was like you when I first heard that. I was like, go. I was like, I ain't going to Africa. And God's like, I didn't tell you to go to Africa. I told you to go to Leedy. Just go. Go and do what I'm asking you to do. All right, now this is the part I want to get to today, because right now everything's good, hunky-dory. I'm going to challenge your belief right now, because Mark goes into talking about a continuation, not only a call to believe and a command to go and be willing to go and be obedient, but then he says, as you go, the Lord's going to go with you, and he's going to work with you, and it's a continuation of Jesus' supernatural ministry. Jesus said greater works in John. He said greater works will you do because I go to my Father in heaven. You mean we're going to do greater works than Jesus did in his 3.5-year ministry? Yes, you are, and we are. And then I'm going to read this again, Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. This is where Mark says this is a continuation of Jesus' supernatural ministry. And these signs, everybody say signs, will accompany those who believe. Everybody say believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Everybody say signs. All right. Now, there's four special signs that he talks about. And he says, we're going to drive out demons. And he's going to talk about that we're going to deliver people from demonic influence. Did you know people are still being influenced today by the demonic? Even you can be a Christian and be influenced. We prayed for somebody here weeks ago that was being tormented with the spirit of suicide. And if you haven't been paying attention, there's been several people in our area that's happened to over the past 2 months. Mark Woodward and I were talking about this, that spirit has been running rampant. We need to pray and stop it in the name of Jesus. And when you come across somebody like we did, you just need to cast down that thought. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. Can you talk to him? Here's the deal with, you know, some people's like, well, I don't know if we're supposed to cast out demons anymore. I thought we kind of made the switch in the New Testament to counseling. Yeah, I believe in counseling too, but you can't counsel demons. You got to cast them out. You can't medicate them. You can medicate them so much, but you've got to cast them out in the name of Jesus. And they're still real today. Here's the next thing that he talks about. Speaking new tongues. And there is, and I'm not going to get into, this is a whole other teaching, but if you want to read more about this, read the book of Acts, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There is a private prayer language. I have my private prayer language. But what he's talking about here also is language is not learned. As you go, you're going to come across things as we go, and we go into all the world and preach the gospel. What's going to happen is you're going to come up against a language barrier. And he said, and I've heard stories about this from missionaries, and I've heard one missionary can speak like 5 or 6 different languages and never studied a one. And it was just because he was willing to go, and God downloaded it to him. And I heard, there was one story I heard about a man was worshiping in a service, and as he was worshiping, he didn't call attention to himself or anything, but the lady was standing right next to him that he didn't even know, and it was kind of like an international service, and he was just worshiping, and all of a sudden this language came over him, and he spoke it out, and he did not even know it, but he actually called this woman by name and basically told her to give her life to the Lord. He never even knew what he said. She did. And she got saved and told him what had just happened. You just told me that I needed to get saved. And he's like, hey, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. He goes, I don't even know what I even said. Broke that language barrier. That can happen, guys. Read the book of Acts. Read Acts chapter 2. The Bible talks about when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in other tongues. There were people there from all over, and they all heard them praising God in their own language. Wow. God is good. And all the time. We had a situation happen here a few Sundays ago. It didn't happen that way, but it happened another way. Carrie was back here running the sound system, and we were showing a deal for the Operation Christmas Child, and it came up in another language. I don't know if you was here that Sunday, but it had written down here in the bottom the English part of it, and she was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I did that, you know, and so she came up to me afterward, and she was apologizing all over, said, I'm sorry, Pastor Mark, we didn't cue that up, and we didn't preview it and all that. It spoke in a whole different language, and I was like, it's okay. I mean, it wrote in English down there. I think everybody could see that. Well, little did we know that God had somebody in service that day that was from another country that actually heard that in their own language. God had a way of getting it to them, didn't he? And they became so moved by that they showed up that Wednesday night to help pack shoeboxes. God is good. So there's another, I was even taught that too, guys, growing up, and it's just people in the body of Christ that are ignorant and don't understand. They say, oh, if they talk about that tongue stuff, that's of the devil. No, it is not. Read your Bible. Read the book of Acts. That's all I can read it. Just read it. Then he talks about the survive personal attacks, being protected. Talks about the serpents. That is, when you see serpents in the Bible, that's symbolic of the demonic. But that's also physical. It happened to Paul. If you read the book of Acts, he had a viper bite him on the hand. He shook it off in the fire, the Bible says. And they were like, man, his God is God, because he should be dead right now because of the venom. And then the whole island got saved. You can read that in the book of Acts. So here's, but some churches have taken that scripture out, and they's like, let's go get a box of rattlesnakes and let's handle snakes during service. We're not going to do that around here, okay? That's not God. That's not what that scripture means. If they want to be real, you know, and I've watched documentaries about that. If you want to be real literal about that, then go drink poison too while you do that, because the very next scripture says that about the poison. And God says, as we go in his name and spreading the gospel, he is going to protect us from personal attacks. He's going to protect us. And then the last thing there is place hands on the sick, meaning he wants us to go around and be his hands and feet in the earth and go to people and lay hands on them so that they'll be healed. Now, as I was looking up this in the Bible, I could not find anywhere in the Bible about the poison. And this is from a Dr. George Wood in his book Fearless, How Jesus Changes Everything. He says, nothing is recorded in Acts, is what I always tell you to go read, regarding protection from poison. However, my missionary father was once poisoned by a nomadic Tibetan tribe with whom he had shared the gospel. And when they later saw him alive, they said, you must have a very strong God. We gave you enough poison to kill 10 men. So God protected him. So that's, God wants us to know that we can go and go with protection and not be afraid. Amen. All right, Mark 16, verse 17, I want to point this out to you. It says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Everybody say believe. It doesn't say apostles. It doesn't say the first disciples. It says it'll accompany all those who believe. Are you a believer? Do you believe? I'm challenging your belief today. Then you need to start doing those things that I just, when you come across the demonic presence, you'll know. I promise you, you'll know. There's no doubt. And you have the authority in the name of Jesus to cast it out. I'm not one that says there's a demon behind every bush either, but I also know the authority that I have if one shows up. Amen. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jade and I, you know, when we start feeling sickness going on, we start, okay. I tell Jay, like, lay hands on me and pray for me. You know, we pray for each other. We pray for our kids. We've laid hands on Taya, prayed for her. The very first person that I ever saw healed by the laying on of hands was my daughter. And it's when she was a little baby. And she had a fever that would not break. We were doing everything to get it broke. And so we were in there in her bedroom. I'll never forget this. She was laying down on her little changing table, and Jade and I both laid hands on her and just prayed a simple prayer, Lord, heal our daughter in the name of Jesus. You said that we could do this, that we could lay hands on the sick and that they'd be healed. And almost immediately, her fever broke. And I mean, it was just like a gushing, just she was sweating profusely because the fever broke and she was healed. That was the first person I ever saw healed was my daughter. You can do this at home, guys. You don't have to call Pastor Mark. Will Pastor Mark be there? You bet. But you're going to, you know, everybody's like, you know, run into a demon or somebody needs to heal. Call Pastor Mark. Call Pastor Mark. No, you're there. You're the one that God sent there. You do it. You lay hands on them. You cast it out. You have the authority to do that. Pastor's not being ugly or being mean. I'm trying to equip all of us for the work of the ministry. One person can't do it all. It takes all of us. And you're going to be in areas, your family, circles of influence that I'll never be in. I was talking to a guy this week who he used to go over to Africa. Here, I'm going to use Africa. He used to go to Africa almost every year for about 15 years, and we were sitting and talking about his different things that he had seen and stuff. And he was like, Mark, he goes, I've been over there. He said, I've had witch doctors try to cast spells on me. And I saw God protecting me from all that. He talked about one time that he said we went to this village, and he said the Lord showed me a lady that he goes, you could actually see it. He said it was actually, and where they went in Africa, these people, and this is one of the things he told me, because I asked him, I said, why don't we see things like that in America? And he said, Mark, He said, I've asked the Lord the same thing, and the reason why we don't is because this is what he said, and I know that God uses doctors and medicine to heal us, but we put more faith in that than we do in God, more belief in that. He goes, we'll run to Walgreens or and he goes, these people don't have anywhere to run to. They don't have a hospital to run to. They don't have Walgreens or, you know, some pharmacy to run to. All they know is we got to find some, you know, they either go to the witch doctor or go to God, go to Jesus. And hopefully somebody's told them about Jesus still heals today. And he said, we were in this village, and that's what we were there preaching the gospel. And he said, in every one of our meetings, we heal the sick. We do what Jesus told us to do, lay hands on the sick, and they'll be healed. And he said, Mark, I saw this with my own eyes. He said, a lady came up, and she had like a, he said, he goes, of course, we don't know if it was cancerous. He goes, I believe that it was, but he goes, what, it was one in her lymph nodes. It was a tumor. And he goes, it was from her arm down to here. I mean, it was visible. You could see it. And the Lord said, lay hands on her, and I'm going to heal her. He said, I laid hands on her, and he goes, that's all we have to do is just be obedient to do the laying on of hands. And he said, Mark, I laid hands on her, and he goes, and it was like a surgeon took a scalpel to her and cut that thing off, and it fell on the ground right in front of me, and said she was healed just like that. He goes, because we've been over in those other countries, and he said, I've seen little kids with their legs being, he said, almost a foot shorter than another leg, and we lay hands on them, and their leg grew back right in front of our eyes. And I was like, wow. I was sitting there talking to him, and all of a sudden I was like, I want to go to Africa. I want to go to Africa. And here's what I think what happens. It can happen in America, but here's what I think that with, I was asking the Lord about this. I was preparing this message. I think we just, a lot of us here, and I know most of you here, and we're all believers, but here's what happens is we get bored. We just kind of like go through the motions. And we all have this power in the name of Jesus to go do this. Every one of us. Every one of us in here. And so this is what I'm going to close with today. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, why don't we see this more in America, God? Why don't we see more signs and wonders and miracles and all those? And some of it I think is boredom, and then some of it's just that we don't believe. You know, we believe, but we're not believing correctly, or like we're asking for. Here's the deal: you don't need to pray to go share the gospel with somebody. The reason why is because He already told us to go. Amen. And some of it, I've done this too. Lord, if I'm to go invite them to church, cause three cars to pass by that are red. And then it happens, right? You go, I'm wanting that sign right now, God. That happens, and you're like, okay, Lord, you did it once, do it again. And he's like, no, I've already told you to go. Go. You know, we have a heart, we're wanting signs ahead of time, and God's saying, no, as you go, then signs will follow. And so I was thinking about this, and I wish I could do this with. I had my brother. I said, Matt, I need your bicycle. And gosh, I'm not even going to try it. Okay, this bike is too tall. I was going to get on it and ride it, but I can't do that. And don't even tempt me to do that, because as you get older, if I was about 10 years younger, I guarantee you I would have done it. But as you get older, as men get older, we start getting smarter. We're like, no, I can't do that. I'm not 18. I'm not 20 anymore. But I want to use this as an illustration. Okay, the Lord showed me and said, Mark, it's like riding a bicycle. You learned how to do that, right? And I was like, yeah. I can remember having training wheels and all that. I remember taking them off and learning how to ride. And, you know, you have to learn how to balance. You know, there's two pedals, right? Right? Everybody with me? There's two pedals, and you got to learn how to balance. But this is what he showed me. He said, Mark, the body of Christ in America, and I'm talking about all of us, including myself, he said, it's like riding a bicycle, and you're on the bike. He said, some people still have training wheels on. Some people do have them off, but you're still trying to balance it by you get on it, and you put your, you know, left foot here, right foot over here, and then you're trying to balance like that in place, and you can't do that for very long, right? You got to start going. And you can't just sit there and bounce like that. And then he said, some of you, and I told Matt, I said, do you have a kickstand? He said, no, I don't have a kickstand on this bike, so we're going to use the stage as part of it. And then he said, some of you are curb Christians, meaning you're standing there and you got one foot on the curb and you're still on the bike and then you're trying to balance it that way. And when the two pedals represent, we got to have the word in us, right? And we've got to be a witness over there. Another way of putting it is we have to have faith. We have to have action on this side, so it's to have balance. But the Lord told me, he said, Mark, the reason why the body of Christ in America doesn't see the signs and wonders and miracles that you see in the book of Acts, that you heard that guy talk about that happened over in Africa, is because you're not moving. You're not going. You're not going. You got to go. You got to go. And then the signs are going to follow you this way. We're just parked in one place. We're trying to balance a bike parked in one place going, hey, yeah, I'm really doing something for God. And, you know, we're not. You're not going anywhere. And so we got to go. And there's some of you in here that may be called to the missions field. You may be called to Africa. I'm not going to say that you're not. But golly, guys, if we would just be called, if we would just go to our families, if we would just go to our places of work, to wherever God has us. When you have somebody, is your heart going to beat fast? Oh, yeah, I can remember the first time. You know, nowadays, I don't care. I've got to the point, and I don't know if it's age and everything, but I've got to the point where I don't care who's around or what's going on. If somebody tells me they're sick, I say, like, hey, I want to lay hands on you. And they're like, well, you should. You're a pastor. No, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. So we can all do that. Hey, let me lay hands on you. I want to pray for you. I had an elderly lady this week that I went and visited, and she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and she's a believer, and we joined hands and we prayed and we believed that she's going to be healed. Amen. I don't believe that we're supposed to go out that way. God don't want us to go out that way. Well, Mark, have you laid hands on people and every one of them's healed? No. But that's not my job. I'm not the healer. He is. He just told me to go and do it. I've seen people healed. Have I seen everyone? No. But that's not my deal. He just told me to go. And so it's time to pedal. Look at somebody say, it's time to pedal. It's time to go. And I'm here today to pray for you guys. And I want to do what this is saying, to lay hands on the sick and that they will recover. Amen. Kim, how are you doing? You doing good? Okay. Is it in remission? Nope. Okay. Not yet. All right. Not yet. Exactly. I don't mean to point you out and embarrass you, but I've been honed in on you all service. And I want to get a few of us to come back here. Kent, will you come with me? You just sit right there. I don't want to embarrass you, but we're gonna lay hands on you and just do what the Bible says. This is what we're supposed to be doing, guys. Yeah. Jada, anybody else that wants to come over here?
Amen.
Amen.
I'll take it.
You bet. So what has the doctor said?
It's just a few spots left in my liver.
Okay, a few spots left in your liver. Okay. All right. We're all going to pray, and I'm going to lead out, and if you have anything, if anybody else has anything here, I want you to pray as well, okay? Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we're just doing what the Word says today. God, I thank you that you had Kim here by divine appointment today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And the whole time that I have been up there ministering, I've just been looking at her and just knowing that you want to heal her. God, that's your desire that she be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we do. We thank you for doctors. We thank you for medicine. We thank that we're supposed to be obedient and go through all of that, Lord. But Lord, we look to you as the great physician today, God, and we're doing what your word says, what we just read, what we just studied about in Mark chapter 16, that we could lay hands on the sick and that they would be healed in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we know that cancer is not bigger than Christ. Christ is bigger than cancer. And, Lord, we thank you that cancer has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And we speak healing over Kim today in the name of Jesus, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, in every area of her life. God, we pray healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're removing these spots on her liver. God, that her liver is going to begin to function the way that it's supposed to. And so, God, we just give you praise for it, and we thank you that you're healing Kim right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If anybody else has anything, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word.
Yes,
today,
Lord.
Lord God, it's not by accident. Lord, you knew that Kim was going to be here today. Lord.
Yes.
You drew her by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that our hearts are broken for her.
Yes.
As we minister to her today, Lord God, we know it's not by our might nor by our power, but it's by your Spirit.
Yes.
She is healed today.
Yes.
Now, Lord, we declare, Lord, as your believers, Lord, as your word tells us, Lord God, we are to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, there's nothing anybody can do. There's no doctors. There's no medicine. Only you, Lord God, can do the work that Kim needs in her body today.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we are bringing our faith together.
Yes.
As the body, Lord God, of Christ, as your heir, Lord God, to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you that Kim is an heir with Christ.
Yes.
And so, Lord, she is claiming her healing today.
Yes.
And we are agreeing with her today. And we thank you, Lord God, by faith, Lord God, Kim is whole and she is healed.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray that she will not be overcome by cancer emotionally, physically, or spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
That, Lord, cancer will flee in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that it will not have any part in her body.
Yes.
Lord, I pray in your name that it will flee.
Yes.
And that she will be healed. And that no longer she will be consumed by this sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go from her, Jesus Christ. Let it go.
Amen.
Amen.
Kim, you are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all the Lord has asked us to do, guys, and you can do that outside of church, too. Amen. In fact, I just want to tell you, and I'm glad that Kim was here today, but most of the miracles and signs and wonders in Jesus' ministry was done outside the synagogue, outside of the church, just in normal everyday life ministering to people. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? And I'm telling you guys, God is good. I hope this illustration, did that illustration help you, even though I didn't get on the bike? I'm not getting on the bike. I let Matt ride that home. He told me, he said, no, you're going to haul it home. It's too cold to ride it. But that's the reason why. You got to have both feet and go. Go. And then that's when the signs and it may, you know, and it'll, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be the feet and hands of Jesus. And we can do it anywhere, at home, at college, at school, and I haven't had, I shouldn't say I haven't had, I've had a few, but I haven't had very, I mean, everybody that I've ever asked, because I've had people that I don't even know, that and I'll come up to them, can I pray for you? And I've never really had anybody really turn me down for that, you know. Guys, God is good, and he just wants us to be willing to go wherever it is that he just be willing to do it. Amen. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know all 66 books of the Bible. He just like, just go and be me to somebody this week. All right. want everyone to bow your heads here this morning. And we close like this every time we're together, because I want to make sure what we talked about today, that everybody is a believer today before they leave. And it's just what I talked about in Romans chapter 10. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Jade, I want you to come up here with me. I want everybody to stand up, and we're going to speak a blessing over you this morning. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I believe. Amen. Love you guys. I'll give you a hug too, Riley. Love you guys.